Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We got to do some research. According to the text line, Bruce Arians was bald and had a goatee.
I was looking at some pictures of Bruce Arians, and
confirmed. Yes,
yeah, I mean, you could say that, but
I
think we've had the conversation over the years is that it was a COVID year, so it really doesn't count. And he was playing at his home stadium, and there was nobody in attendance, and that halftime show with The Weeknd was weird.
Yeah, I wasn't even on anything watching that, and I was tripping.
Like, people don't count, like, the Lakers winning in the bubble and all that kind of stuff. Does it count? Yeah, but is it real?
Cardboard fans. It counts. This is a good broadcast booth company. Al Michaels and Shane Gillis. I would love that. I would love that. Make a grilled cheese at 1 a.m. Some people like Herb Street and Fowler. I do like that combo.
I think they're good.
I think they are good.
Yeah. I like Herb Street. Am I not supposed to like Kirk Herb Street?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why anybody. I mean, he makes some. Him and Shannon Sharpe don't like each other, but that's here nor there.
Yeah.
To say that you're on the same level as Kirk Herb Street, Shannon, timeout.
Yeah.
You don't have your own G5,
right? Like seriously, like Kirk Herbstreit has a private jet, okay?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to not like him, though? Like, I enjoy Kirk Herbstreit.
I don't have a problem with him.
I think he's a good announcer. He doesn't get in the way of the game. And quite honestly, Kirk Herbstreit was the one calling out Pittsburgh the other day, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was calling out Pittsburgh. You don't see many announcers willingly throw it out there like Kirk Herbstreit did and call out one of the OGs in the NFL like he did on Saturday.
To your aid, from the 816, Arians also had glasses, which by code cancels the goatee.
Okay. So you're good with that. Yeah. And he also had like a plastic shield on his face. Like,
and he was rocking the Lululemon before he said.
Bruce Arians, you look at now, you know, back in the day, he had that kind of that fanny pack. That's every middle school, high school kid now. I know my daughter's at the Lululemon bag.
Gotta have it, man.
So that guy created the Lululemon saddlebag. Is that what we're talking about now?
What's the matter, saddlebags? I watched that movie this weekend. So Dion to Dallas, is that really going to happen?
I hope so. I mean, right? for us, yeah. For what we do for a living, it's the greatest thing that possibly could happen because it'll turn into a bleep show out there.
Because he was just seen the other day talking to Colorado in like their meeting room. He's like, I'm no longer a dad coaching. My kids are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can be a coach. This would be something I would see Dion jumping for.
Oh, hell yes.
Even though he may not do it, he's one of the few that when Jerry calls them, Dion's going to be like, what's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah.
But again, like we heard Aikman say earlier, like this isn't a coveted job because you can't be you.
Mm-hmm.
Can Dion, of all people, would Jerry allow Prime to be Prime?
I think you'd have to, and I think that has to be the guide rules going in. I know they spoke yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Schefter that said that they had talked yesterday, and it was funny because what he said Dion told him was like, yeah, we'll see where it goes, right? Which is obviously you're not showing your hand. We'll see where it goes means a couple of things. Jerry's got a lot he needs to give me,
mm-hmm.
or you need to make your offer bigger. That's the we'll see where it goes type of stuff from Dion. I think he's openly listening, and you should be openly listening for this job. I mean, you've had 2 years at Colorado, 13-12, mm-hmm. but you know what? You've done a great job at Colorado, in my opinion, because to me, you've created fans, you've propped up a university, you've been a great mentor to a lot of dudes out there, you've made people better human beings, right? Like, I think when you start to check all the boxes, Dion's checking all those boxes in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I don't think he works in the NFL, but that's just me. I don't think that rah-rah type stuff works with grown-ass men. I think it does work with kids and young adults, and he's a great mentor in that. But, I mean, Dion may be the only guy willing to take the Dallas Cowboy job at this point in time because are you, Jera, going to give me the opportunity as the coach to have success? Or are you going to be the same guy that we've seen for the last 30 years and that's hold the Dallas Cowboys back from having success? The Dallas Cowboys have been held back from having success, not by Mike McCarthy, not by Tony Romo, not by Jason Garrett. They've been held back from success by their owner, Jerry Jones, for his refusal to fire the general manager, Jerry Jones, and bring in competent football people.
Do we have the quarterback? Let me be very affirmative. I completely believe that we have the quarterback that can take us where we want to go.
Then why did you take so long to sign him, too? And play, you know, like Mickey Mouse games with that guy? If that's your quarterback, get him signed.
Will you look at some kickers this week?
No. Okay. We won't. We just, he's done enough good ones.
Because here's my thing with Dion. If you're going to go to Dallas, you're obviously going to try to persuade the general manager to Jerry Jones, draft your son.
Yeah, but where's Dallas picking?
That's a good question. They're, what, eight? Do you know where Dallas picks in the draft? Are they like eighth?
Are they that high this year? Because I know they won like five games at the end, which probably puts them in the coveted they're 15 to 25 range.
Yeah, they're not in the top 10.
Which means you might as well not make a pick.
12.
Okay, so they're picking 12.
Not that far off.
Shador's not going to last to 12.
You'd have to trade up.
You're going to have to trade up, right? And Dion has already spoken, I guess at the end of last week or over the weekend, and said there are teams where he will not allow his kid Shador to play for, meaning I would guess Cleveland and Tennessee, right? And Shador wants to apparently play for the Giants. I guess he had giant cleats on and wants to throw to Malik Neighbors and
why not?
And whatnot.
They have a good team.
The Giants
I think they do have
a good team. The Giants don't have a bad team. They have no quarterback.
They have a good defensive line.
Yep.
Exactly. They have a good defensive line. They have a very good rookie running back. They have a good rookie wide receiver last year. They are two players away. One of them is a quarterback, and the other is a receiver.
Their offensive line has been totally garbage for the last five, six years.
I think they can get to a point. I mean, hell, they were in the playoffs with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And they have a coach I think understands. But he needs that quarterback.
He needs that quarterback.
And I don't know if Shador's that guy right away.
I don't know what it is either, but like with Dion out there saying, I don't want my kid playing for certain teams, and he didn't name the names, but we can all infer it's Tennessee and Cleveland. Who would want their kid playing for either one of those teams? You know, back in the day, I would have been like upset that Dion's saying that, but as a dad, it's your job to give your kids the best opportunity to have success in life, and you want what's best for your kids. Do you want them playing for the Titans or Browns?
Right. I also... We always get the, you know, the text like, I want the same energy you guys had for whatever. I want the same energy that people had for Eli with Dion. Eli was like, I'm not playing for the Chargers.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, Eli, come on. And again, I was younger when this happened, but it's like, if you're going to have that energy towards Eli, like, and there was not a whole lot, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. I don't know. John Elway as well, right? I'm not playing for the Baltimore Colts.
So yeah.
Do not draft me. And now all of a sudden it's like, now that Dion and Shador do this, it's like, well, that's just selfish, and they shouldn't be able to do that.
Well,
it's like,
come on. I will say this. We're 21 years removed when Eli did it, you know? Think about that, right? 2004.
Now they're kicking field goals at halftime of the big game.
Right, they're going to the Hall of Fame now. Like, that's how far we are removed from that Eli thing. And the difference is now... Everybody's got a voice. In 2004, nobody had a voice. You didn't have social media. You didn't have screaming talking heads on two networks that, you know, or nobody's watching except on social media. You didn't have all of the coverage, you know, that we've had now. A lot of this stuff has changed. So I think maybe people had the same feeling. There's nowhere to voice it back then. You didn't have Bookface and all that kind of stuff where people could get out there and talk about, you know, how they feel. Now everybody's got the ability to voice their opinion 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you see more of this. But I'm for Archie Manning. I'm for Deion Sanders. You don't have a long time in the NFL to make it, right?
No.
3.5 years is the average shelf life in the NFL. And as a dad, like my view on this is completely different since becoming a dad. As a dad, if I had an athlete that was this good, like Shador Sanders potentially could be, do you really want him going to a bad situation with a bad head coach and not having the opportunity to have success? I wouldn't want that for my child in any line of work. I want them going to a place where they're going to have the resources, the ability, the leadership, and all that stuff to make themselves better. Tennessee and Cleveland don't provide that right now.
Right.
So I don't blame Deion Sanders for being out there and being a dad and saying, I want my kid to go to a place where he's going to have success. Because in 10 to 15 years, it's all over, and there's no redo on this thing.
No doubt about it.
Okay. 9 3-inch head. 8.5-inch
There it is.
There it is, Dion.
There you go. Coming up on the other side, something similar.
Go get it, Dion.
That's right. Our guy, Ron Hughley of 610 in Houston. Houston, Kansas City. Kansas City, Houston. We do it again with Ron Hughley on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home. Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it. 96.5 The Fan. What do you know about Ray Finkel? Soccer style kicker, one hell of a model American, nicknamed the Mule. Somebody who's not nicknamed the Mule is Ron Hughley, my good friend of 610 in Houston. Sterner and Show. We got the show back, right? We're finally Ron the Show Hughley again. You brought the guy back after a big win last weekend. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, everyone, it was weird to me that everyone had just made such an enormous gap between the Chargers and the Texans. And Monday I guaranteed a dub, which made people nervous because people believe in weird curses that aren't true. And I just said, here, man, you know, a lot of people wanted me to bring the nickname back. And I said, yeah, I'll put it on the line here. They win. That's how confident I am. Show came back.
Yeah.
Show came back. So,
right.
But yeah, man. Good times.
I think Houston is the better team, though. I said last week, I said either one of Houston or Denver's going to win. Obviously, it turned out to be Houston. Denver didn't show up for their game. But I think people are sleeping on Houston. And Show, when they hired D'Amico down there, I said from day one, I'm in. I love this guy. I didn't know why I love this guy. I just saw a leader in this guy. Tell me why D'Amico Ryans has been such an effective head coach down there.
Yeah, and I think it's more than just the, you know, the things we'll throw out, like, oh, he's a former player. Yeah, there are a lot of former players that also don't have the success. No, man, he is well respected and a guy who just naturally is somebody that people follow, right? Like his nickname when he played was Cap, right? So he wasn't the best player on the team. You know, Andre Johnson was the best player on the team, but he was the guy that everybody followed. And if you just remember where it was, and I do because I lived it every day, I mean, this team was being run by Jonas Nightingale, basically a televangelist. And Jack Easterby, and it was coming off of the Deshaun stuff and, you know, firing and hiring coaches year after year, like literally three straight years they were hiring coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought him in, it like changed the disconnect between the fan base and the organization. And he just connected it all. Former player there, and then he kind of brought back the former players that were there and kind of united the whole organization. So now you see, you know, some of their former great players that were never, ever around the organization during the Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby days. So, yeah, man, he's just completely changed the organization just with his arrival. And you noticed that the first day he got there.
Yeah, I think that's what you need, though. You need somebody that's going to come in and be the Andy Reid, that's going to come in and be the John Harbaugh, the Mike Tomlin, you know, that guy who's going to command that leadership and everybody is going to follow and kind of cleanse that organization. And then you go out and you get the right quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And boy, it's easy when you have a good head coach quarterback combination in this league.
Well, yeah, that helps, right?
Yeah.
It's very Andy-like. Like, I think a lot of people look at it because he's a defensive coach, and you think like Tomlin. But no, like, he calls, like, he runs the defense like Andy runs the offense, right? Like, that is, I mean, Matt Burke is the defensive coordinator, but he calls the plays, and that is his defense, just the way that, you know, Andy calls the plays, and that's his offense. And he's talked about it, actually. Like, he played a year under Andy, and said he learned a lot in being a head coach and how he approaches things from his years with Andy Reid. And when you look at his temperament, it's kind of close to Andy. He's a little bit more intense, but kind of close to Andy. So yeah, man, you know, Andy found Mahomes, and now he has found C.J. Stroud, even though he's taken a step back this year, but still, you know, those two together help really shift this organization.
I thought there was a lot of similarities in that 2019 year that there are to this year with the way that this Houston Texans team is set up, right? You have your quarterback in year two as a full-time starter. That was year two full-time starter for Deshaun Watson that year. They each won 10 games in those years. They went and beat Buffalo in that first round. TJ and Houston beat L.A., obviously different teams, but everybody hyping up the opposing quarterback against Watson and against C.J. Stroud. They both have their wide receiver one at those times. DeAndre was there. Now you've got Nico in Houston. C.J. this year, 20-12. Deshaun that year, 26-12. C.J. this year, 37-27. Deshaun Watson that year, 38-52. Houston's set up, but, man, they got to go up against a powerhouse in Kansas City. We didn't really kind of know the full powerhouse that was the Chiefs back in that game, which they came back from 24-0, ended up winning 51-31, I think, or whatever it was, 54-31, or whatever you want to call that game. Is there a little bit more similarities in this Houston team? Like, this is going to be the shell they put together and can finally be a force to be reckoned with in the AFC? Obviously, this is the same four teams last year playoff that is this year.
First off, Bob, I don't know. I don't know what some of those numbers were.
I don't either, Ron.
I know. I believe touchdown and interception was one of them. But when he said 50-something, I said, what is that number?
Yards, Ron, yards, 3,727.
I was going to say, I don't know those numbers. Listen, I think the only thing that is really similar, well, outside of the stuff, you said young quarterback, second year, got a number one receiver. Outside of that, the only thing that I think is going to be similar is the results of the game. This is a team that is more led by its defense right now than maybe even that team was with Deshaun. I think Bill O'Brien and D'Amico, there's a pretty large gap with Bill O'Brien and D'Amico and their coaching staff. For instance, with this defense, I don't think the Chiefs could get down 24-0 and probably come back on this defense. There are some similarities, but I do feel like the team is different. Like, I know this is weird based off the first year. That team was dependent on Deshaun Watson. Like, that team was, if Deshaun Watson didn't play well, they were going to lose. This team has morphed from what it was last year to, like, in some cases, it's been CJ, man, just don't mess it up. And he tried to mess it up against the Chargers, and their defense is more late, so they can still be successful in games even when CJ isn't playing great. That team I don't think could. So I think there are some similarities, but I just think the way the team is built
in this
is
game,
different than that team.
In this game coming up on Saturday at 3:30, Houston's in trouble if the Chiefs do what?
If the Chiefs are able to replicate what they did the last time, and that is Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, and Barrett, and their pass rush doesn't get to Mahomes. They have one sack, and it was by Christian Harris, the linebacker, and they rarely got to him. And if we remember, I know there are some people, especially the audience I talk to, who even with their – this is one of the greatest things about what the Chiefs do to fans that automatically become delusional. You saw with your own eyes that he was bent back in the game by the Browns, but of course you have convinced yourself that he was faking it. So if we remember in that game, this was Mahomes coming off of the ankle thing, and he wasn't anywhere near 100% in movement, and they still couldn't get to him. So that's the best, absolute best part of their game. If they're out of here with Will Anderson and Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter not being an impact in this game like they were the first one, I think they're in trouble.
Do you think we'll hear from Tim Settle this week?
Yeah, I bet Tim's going to calm down. I feel like Tim snacked. snap counts have gone down since Tim Settle said what he said in the game. So no, I think Tim is cool and hopeful for the other side. The Rex Ryans of the world don't roll through here and say that it's a bye week or something like that. Although I don't know that will matter as much as it did last week. But
right. No,
I think Tim Settle's probably gonna shut up.
When you look at this game that is played, I think this is the healthiest the Chiefs have been in quite some time, maybe the entire year. Obviously, Rashee Rice still not there with the season-ending injury. But, you know, the last time they played, it's essentially, I think, going to be the same look, right? Tooney's going to play left tackle, I would think. You're going to have Caliendo play guard. Hollywood Brown's back. You have Xavier Worthy, who's been an exceptional rookie. Like, you see the game plan against the Chargers. Do you do that same game plan where it's just pressure and make the quarterback make mistakes because you're going up against number one, QB1? And again, I don't know if that was more Justin Herbert, just the moment was too big, or if that was just the big dudes up front were putting too much pressure on Justin Herbert.
Yeah, a couple things, especially at the back end. I just don't think Andy is going to allow that to happen, like allow it in terms of it's either whether they use the quick game, which they did a lot in that first matchup against the Texans. I just don't think he or run the football. He is just not going to sit there and allow long drops and long developing routes consistently to allow the pass rush to get there. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to walk out of the game with no rushing yards the way that Justin Herbert did. He's also not just going to sit there and let himself get hit. Something that you said off the top, and I need some help. I know I've reversed this real quick because I do a podcast on Foolish Club Media with Brandon Kylie BK, and BK is convinced that DJ Humphries is going to be the starting left tackle because that's what he thinks that they want to overall have a left tackle play in the left tackle spot and Joe Tooney play left guard. I just, in my mind, cannot see how in the hell they could even think about doing that based off what we've seen from Joe Tooney and what we've seen with him. The Denver game, I was open to seeing it, and then he was just getting his ass kicked against Denver. So I'm like, there's no way. But he is convinced, and it's making me think, am I silly? Like, how do you all see this going? Like, Joe Tooney's going to be the left tackle, right?
No doubt.
I would imagine. Like, I don't even know why we're having this conversation, quite honestly, Ron, because I'm with you. I'm like, I wouldn't even consider putting anybody out there right now other than Joe Tooney. The gentleman is not allowed a sack all season.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, BK is hell-bent on it. I mean, he is.
It was a tough Cardinals season, so, you know, you got to make some sense of things.
I had to go and rewatch. I think Joe Tooney's played the best left tackle. I think it's arguable the little 3 or 4 game time frame. It's been the best in the Mahomes era.
Well, it's been the best since Eric Fisher. There's no question about that.
At least. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And you're going into the playoffs right now. We were talking about an hour ago with Damon and how Marty Schottenheimer got out of sorts when he got into the playoffs and did just ridiculous stuff. And that's why they ended up losing all these games. That's a Marty Schottenheimer type move. If you go into the playoffs now and all of a sudden you're starting DJ Humphries at left tackle when Joe Tooney's been, you know, you could use the term a rock for argument's sake if you wanted to. But if you go out there and you do that, you're kind of playing with fire, especially with a quarterback who lost his cool because the offensive line was so bad in that game against the Raiders.
Yeah, and he just, you all saw, like, it was clear Mahomes was feeling and looking that side of the field. Like that, like, through the corner of his eye, whatever, you could see his head feeling for pressure coming off the back end, which, when Tooney got in there, it made it more. You could see he was much more comfortable. I don't know. BK's thought is you know, they're going to, can they beat better defensive teams with this short passing game, and will they need to have guys where it could be long developing? And I said to him, "You believe DJ Humphrey gives you a better chance of holding off a pass rush for a long developing play than Joe Tooney?" I don't know what we've seen to believe that.
Yeah,
that
and
to me, the last 2 weeks, I think the way the Chiefs have played offense, short passing and whatever, I think they can win a championship that way, the way they played against the Texans and the Steelers. But whatever. I'm going to lose it if Joe Tooney is not the left tackle in the game on Saturday.
I think you'll I think you'll be all right. If there's one thing, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think Andy Reid's definitely going to stick with that mantra of that offense. Look, we finally saw a deep pass. Is that the addition of Joe Tooney at left tackle? I don't know. Probably. Mahomes has looked more comfortable. Mahomes wants what Mahomes gets, and if he wants Joe Tooney, I don't think anybody else is playing left tackle. The other thing I will ask you is Joe Mixon, right? Like, he knows enough about what this place is like in the playoffs, being with Cincinnati. He knows everything about this team, this city. He's been here. He's done it. Is he the X factor for them? Because the Chiefs' run defense is great. But again, if you're going to give C.J. Stroud the ability to throw the ball around the field, I feel like you've got to somehow develop Joe Mixon in the running game, and that's going to be a tough task to do against that Chiefs defensive front.
Yeah, if you go through their games and you go and you look at their best offensive performances, like almost every one of them, Joe Mixon is above 100 yards around it. You can clearly see the impact, because this team, it's very similar to the Chiefs, just in a different way. Their biggest issue has been the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And it has gotten a little bit better, but I don't think it has taken the steps that the Chiefs have taken. And we saw it with the Chargers on Saturday. If this is a game, and that's why it's so big for, you know, the fellows up front for the Chiefs to go ahead and not let Joe Mixon get going. Because there's been a lot of games as well where Joe Mixon's sitting there with 28 yards or 31 yards or whatever like that, and the offense is completely different. But if this is a game in which the Texans are in 3rd and 7 and longer, 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s, and they can rush the passer, they're going to have problems. Good luck. As we saw the first game, George Karloftis gave the rookie Blake Fisher-Hale. They're going to try to double team Chris Jones, obviously. And I promise you, I have never seen a team be so bad from week 1 all the way to week 22 in terms of stunts and games up front. It's like none of them can block it. Yeah. Like, I mean, literally, I have seen C.J. Stroud get drilled so many times just on a stunt or a game up front. They just can't do it. They can't block it. And if it's 3rd and longs and the Chiefs get to pressure and Spags gets to blitz, and especially now, hopefully, if Jalen Watson is there and he feels a lot more comfortable in his blitz packages, it's going to be a long day. But Joe Mixon, not allowing him to get going and not allowing this to be, you know, 3rd and 3s instead of 3rd and 8, I think is a big deal.
Well, Ron, we appreciate it as always, and I think we're going to see a better game than maybe you're kind of leaning into a little bit, but I'd like to see the type of game that you're describing where it could be a very long day for C.J. Stroud, and we're leaving at the end of the third quarter.
Listen, I don't know. Listen, the Chiefs don't normally blow people out, although they did blow out the Steelers, and in the game against the Texans before that, there was never any point, even when C.J. and the crew lost their minds when Tank Dell got hurt, there was never a point I thought the Chiefs weren't in control. Listen, the Texans, I think, will play better than they did the first time. I think the Chiefs will, too. But, fellas, I'm sorry. I can see a place where the Chiefs may not three-peat and this dream may not happen. I can't see it ending here.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, man, I guarantee they'll win this thing, and I'll be shell-shocked if they don't. I just can't see it ending with the Texans. That one's hard for me to envision. I can see Josh Allen or Lamar or the Lions or something. Just hard to see it ending here.
Right, no doubt. Who's winning that game between Baltimore and Buffalo, by the way?
I hope to God Buffalo.
All right, Ron. All right, man. Hey, take care. Keep that family safe and keep doing what you do, my man. Appreciate you.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Ron.
Ron Hughley in Houston, 6'10".
Why? So he wants Buffalo to win.
I think it's because I think everybody thinks Baltimore is a better roster.
Is it wrong for me to say I don't give a
You know, bleep.
Oh, I thought you did cuss. No, I was yes.
I just don't. Whoever it is, you're going to have to beat a really good team next week, right?
I would rather play Buffalo if I had an opinion because.
But you do.
Because I think that last year Baltimore didn't have Derrick Henry. I think Baltimore.
We beat Baltimore already this year with Derrick Henry, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that the regular season matters, right per se, because we lost to Buffalo or whatever.
One by a toe. But I think roster wise, I think Baltimore is the better offensive roster. Now again, Nosey Flowers, I don't know how long he's out. I don't know if he's out for the entire playoffs or what, or maybe they're like, if we get to the Super Bowl,
it's one of those deals. Yeah, right, yeah.
But I mean Buffalo is a point and a half underdog.
I saw that, guys. Like, so was anybody else surprised by that?
I was a little bit. Because I'm like, wow, this is kind of the Chiefs vibes when they played Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game. It's like, Cincinnati's a favorite going into Arrowhead. It's like, make it make sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, the MVP, Josh Allen, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could be Lamar. But it's like, in Buffalo.
It's Mahomes.
Ravens on the road. Like.
I looked at that yesterday and like, I'm not the odds say so-and-so is going to be the coach here. Cause that's all nonsense. That's mm-hmm. all made up. But the odds for the game are the ones that always get me to go, huh, what am I missing here? Like that. Remember, we go back to that Texans Jet game, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the Texans Jet and the Jets won that game, right? If I'm not mistaken,
they
did. So why is Baltimore the favorite here? And should that tell us that Baltimore is going to win? This
I think it's Derrick Henry. I really do. I think they saw that game and they saw that Lamar and Derrick Henry can run the ball and Buffalo's defense obviously isn't the same defense. And
who's the better quarterback? Who's the better coach? And if you tell me a wash at both, that's fine. And what I'm getting to is Derrick Henry could be the difference maker in that.
I think quarterback Allen, coach Harbaugh.
Okay. No, I definitely think Harbaugh is a better coach than Sean McDermott.
I think that like
Harbaugh and Lamar haven't had though as much postseason success as Josh Allen.
I also think this is a matchup not against the head coaches. I think this is a matchup between Todd Monken and Joe Brady. I think who's going to stick to their offensive game plan, who's going to do it. We can dive into that a little bit more. Plus, I have a hypothetical that Mac and Bob both hated. I asked it to a couple buddies last night, 50-50 on the response. I'll ask you this hypothetical on the other side. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty and Mac. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Yes, have confirmed Buffalo +1.5 still to this day and this moment here on DraftKings, at least where I looked at it. I told Mac during the break, I'm not putting a cent on that game. I had a buddy last night, he's like, gun to your head, who do you take Buffalo, Baltimore? I was like, I don't want anything to do with that game. I want to watch it, and I don't want to bet it. I'll prop the hell out of the Chiefs game if you want. I'll give you my prop bets on Friday. Nobody cares about your bets, Dusty. I can hear Bob in my head. But again, oh, there you go. Just talked about that game earlier.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah,
those sick jerseys. There was red in those. I thought so.
Oh yeah, the red is on the tower or whatever, the oil tower. Oil tower. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can have a discussion about that tomorrow because I am super confused because I asked Alex and Cody who were out there in the bullpen. I'm like, are we really talking about who's playing left tackle? And Alex is like, yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand it. He's like, but they are saying there are. And I was like,
who's they?
And Cody said, Nate Taylor brought it up. He said, Andy Reid addressed it last week that if like he's our left tackle and he's healthy, like he should play. It's like, I just come on now. Right. I just don't understand that.
Yeah. I don't know. They found something that works. There's not enough time. Like, I get it. If there was more time, D.J. Humphreys, the ceiling's there. You want Joe Tooney, the best left guard, to stay at the best left guard. But we're here. It's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, like, whatever. I just feel like that's a nonsensical conversation. But are they having that? And if they are having that conversation, I'm never going to really doubt Andy and company. I'm sure it's been talked about. Like, what do we want to do at left tackle this week? Is Humphreys ready to? Mm-hmm. I forgot about that guy, to be quite honest with you. I mean, if you polled a bunch of Chiefs fans right now, who's DJ Humphreys? I'm sure a lot of them will go, remind me who that guy is again. Like he hasn't done anything. And this isn't the time of the year to say, all right, there's a guy who we got off the couch in, you know, December, then got hurt, hasn't played. Things have been working right now. That, like, there are just certain things you don't mess with, man. And offensive line continuity at this point in the season just isn't one of those things you mess with. To me, it almost sounds like there are way too many people that have nothing else to do that they're coming back to this one, because this wasn't even a topic in my lexicon, my world, that like somebody else other than Joe Tooney would be playing left tackle this week.
Because what it is, Wednesday on Arrowhead time, so yeah. Andy, Patrick, and somebody else will talk. I assume probably Kelsey today. I don't know for a fact on that. I just assume, like, normally every Wednesday it's head coach, quarterback, and player.
Right.
And it's normally if it's playoffs or it's a big game, they'll have, like, Jones up there, or they'll have, like, you know, Kelsey, or maybe they'll have D-Hop because of, obviously, the
Houston
matchup.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Man, it is tough. It is tough. But I do have a hypothetical that I mean,
it's like taking your closer and saying, you know what, in the World Series, we're not using Wade Davis this year.
Or, I mean, look how it happened to Ned. They were like, we're going to put Yordano Ventura in the sixth.
That was a planned out thing. Just like it went wrong. Don't mess with success.
Just let it be. Let it be. I know he throws fast. I know he throws heat. Just not in that inning. Not in that moment. Not
James
in that time.
Shields could have gone six. We wouldn't have been in that.
That is true.
But it also may have taken away the greatest game we ever did see.
That is also fair. Better game. Wild card game, 13-second game.
Oh, it's a wild card game.
I don't know if I can call that one.
Yeah, wild card game is the greatest sporting event we've ever had in this town. I mean, that thing was unbelievable.
It was crazy.
It was 13-second unbelievable.
Game, though, man. That was like, I think everybody had, everybody had the George Brett reaction in Arrowhead that George Brett had in Kaufman. Whenever there was like, you know, just, I don't know, more alcohol, like, please. Somebody says, it's Tuesday, Dusty. Press conference is tomorrow. No, it's not.
Thanks, Coach. It's not.
Thanks
it's,
for listening.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday Arrowhead time.
Right. Because in Arrowhead World, it's Wednesday because they play Saturday.
Yep.
But thank you for jumping to your phone to correct us. Let me come down to your office and do the same to you, Chet.
Chet. And then we got to stop calling Charles Omenihu Chuck. I guess he goes by Chaz, according to the text line. I don't think he goes by Chaz.
No, but I do like Chaz. That's
I
a
do
name.
Like Chaz.
Yeah.
So hypothetical. I asked you guys this yesterday. 913-586-7965. Maybe I'm sick, and I'm okay with that. Maybe I'm twisted in the head. If somebody off the streets came up to you today and they said, you can't bet on it and you can't tell anybody, but I'll tell you who wins the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say yes or no?
I would ask him what kind of pills they're on. Because if somebody just comes up on the street, you know, rambling about the Super Bowl to me, it's either Binkley or somebody that's, you know, and I would say no. I don't want the answer at all to that question.
Yeah.
Because I like the emotion, the ups and downs, the ins and outs. You lose all that if you know who won.
100%. Yeah, I want the roller coaster ride, man. I want to be on the edge of my seat. I want to be anxious. I want to be, you know, the whole time, because that's what's going to happen.
I would say yes. Because here's why.
Okay.
I still don't know. Say they tell me the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and I'm like, all right.
You know, the next 3 weeks are going to suck.
They're not. I know I'm going to New Orleans. I know I'm going to see a victory of a Super Bowl parade. I don't know how they're going to win.
Or who.
I don't know why they're going to win. Or, like you said, who they're going to be. You could tell me in a movie, hey, this guy dies in the end. And a lot of people would be like, dude, what? And you'd be like, you just ruined the movie. No, you didn't. I don't know how he's going to die. I don't know where the movie's going to go. I'm going to sit back and watch it. Maybe they beat the Texans 31-28 with a miracle Patrick Mahomes play. And I'd be like, you know, I got to have the emotions of watching them do it, even though I knew who was going to win.
You knew they were going to win. But like, if I would have told you, like, Andy was going to escape from Shawshank, are you going to watch that movie? You know, like, or we talked about it last week, The Sixth Sense. If you knew that going into the movie that, you know, Tom Cruise was dead, like, are you going to watch that movie? Like, I'm not interested in that.
Because like, you can still get emotional. It's like, what if you're watching the Super Bowl and it's like, because see, then it's like, so for me, and to bring it to reality, when I knew about the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones and I was watching it with four or five friends, I got to sit back and be like, this is going to be good. Like,
they're gonna
Chiefs down 28-0 in the Super Bowl. I'm like, just you wait. Why aren't you nervous, Dusty? I don't know. I trust Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Tell me if they won. Plus, I think it's prisoner of the moment. I'd like to know if they won the three-peat. I would hate to get all the way to New Orleans, and all of a sudden you get to the final.
Would you rather losing the AFC Championship game or losing the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because at least you got there.
Yeah, but.
Would you rather beat Baltimore or Buffalo?
I don't care.
Buffalo would be hilarious.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Because you beat Buffalo, then it's like, you know?
From a humor standpoint, yeah, of course. Buffalo would be, I don't care who.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
You're not going to win a lot of money, 8-1-6, if you know, because you cannot bet and you cannot say a word.
That's right.
Those are the
stipulations. Because if you could gamble, yeah, hell yes. Yeah, of course, I'm going to take the answer. You know, I'll get Biff's almanac, but I don't want to know. Like, I like the emotion of the game. I like the standing and the edge of your seat and all of that kind of stuff and leading up to it, having the conversation.
Like when we tailgate this Saturday, Bob, just us being nervous, talking about what's going to happen today? Who do you think's going to do well? You know, just all
those
sorts of conversations.
Inviting himself to the tailgate.
This is playoffs, man. I don't know if you can.
No, Ralph already texted me. I'm good to go, man. I'm just kidding.
By the way, Mac's going to see if he can come to the tailgate. Did you already tell him he knows and he didn't?
Yeah. I mean, he just invited himself, so what the hell?
Playoff Bob is a lot cooler than regular season Bob, Mac. You know what I mean?
It elevates, yeah.
Yeah.
That guest list goes down.
Yeah. Really does. You got to keep the circle tight in the postseason.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
No outside distractions.
Bob's going to walk to the opposite side of the parking lot, send a location, then go walk back to his tailgate. It's like, that'll buy us an hour without Mac.
Where are you?
We're going to deal with this guy for 5 days a week, let alone not on a Saturday.
When we tailgate this weekend, like, he just invited himself to the bus. Ralph, can Mac come? Let me know.
Oh, it's funny. Oh, man. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, tell me about it. I mean, my mom, God rest her soul, when she would buy a new book, she'd read the last chapter.
Wow.
Almost every time.
Damn.
Do you even understand it, though?
Like, yeah. That's the thing. It's like, in a house far away, she finally settled down with Mike.
Right. Who's Mike?
Chapter one, birth.
You know? It's like, whoa, so much. That's interesting.
Somebody says they'd rather lose an AFC game. A Super Bowl loss looks worse.
What? Well, I don't know. I mean, I would rather.
What do you think's worse? Andy Reid going to 4 straight NFC Championship games and losing, or the Buffalo Bills going to 4 Super Bowls and losing?
4 Super Bowls.
Super Bowls.
She got there.
Yeah, but I think for the three-peat thing, like any other year, but yeah, fine. If you lose in the Super Bowl, no big deal. But I don't know that I'd be able to recover for a while if they get all the way to the Super Bowl and then lost. Like, I'm being serious, right? I don't know, like, mentally if I will be able to move forward from that. I think I'd have an easier time moving forward from an AFC title game loss than a Super Bowl loss because you're right there. You are right there. Like, even that Tampa Super Bowl, we came in the next day and we're like, all right, we got to move on. We're going to be fine. I still think about that damn game, you know? I don't know.
So if they won the AFC championship game and there's an envelope on the ottoman that says Super Bowl winner, would you still keep it sealed?
Yeah, oh God, yes.
Oh,
yes.
You wouldn't be tempted?
No.
You wouldn't
I'd be like, tempted, no. But I'm not looking.
No, I wouldn't be tempted at all. I like the unknown in sports.
Fair
and,
enough.
You know, there's not a lot of good unknowns in life. Everything in life that usually is unknown is a bad thing. There's no great surprises in life. Somebody had this conversation with me when we were pregnant with our first daughter, and they're like, are you going to find out what it is? We're like, I think so. And like, no, don't. There's not a lot of good surprises in life, right? Like, the Chiefs right now have been a great surprise. I'm not going to spoil that. I just don't want to spoil that. I want this ride to continue, not knowing, being there, talking about it, having the fun, and experiencing it and living it and then having that ending. I don't want the end. Like, we spoil everything in life right now, right? Everything's 20 seconds. Everything's red zone, which is why I think, as you brought up to start the show, which I think is a brilliant point.
Thank you.
That, you know, people don't like the NFL playoffs because we're so used to watching red zone, we don't see the bad football.
Clip, 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 clip.
Yeah. And so that's become like, I don't need that for everything in life. I don't need a 20-second clip of my life right there and then move on.
Division Around coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, start, bench, cut here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.